So it's hard to believe that it's already November. Another birthday has rolled around. And it's been quite some time ago that I initially booked and scheduled for Brother Bagwell to be with us, and he'll be with us next Sunday and honoring our veterans as well as kicking off our revival services. So you want to be in prayer for those, and also come and participate, be a part, be here each night. I know that Brother Bagwell will be a blessing to you. He'll definitely teach you something about the Word of God. It doesn't matter to me how much you know about it. I guarantee you he'll teach you something about the Word of God. He's a Bible scholar for sure. I think one of the best Bible scholars that are alive today, on par with men like G. Campbell Morgan, J. Vernon McGee, Oliver B. Green. I mean, as far as his understanding of the Bible, I would say he's on par with men like that, and I know he'll be a blessing to you. We have here, as I told you, for this morning, a message on Zacchaeus. Actually, that's what I've titled it, Zacchaeus. Very creative title this morning, Zacchaeus. But we read this passage, Luke chapter 19, for our devotions this week, if you're reading along with us. So let's look at it. Let's just read the story and see what God has for us this morning. In Luke chapter 19, the story of Zacchaeus takes place in the first 10 verses that are here. So he says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, and he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to thy house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." This story, a familiar story of Zacchaeus. I mean, outside of the story of David and Goliath, probably one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. I mean, every Sunday school that ever was sat down with the children and have told them the stories of Zacchaeus. I mean, how many kids don't know Zacchaeus was a wee little man, for a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. I mean, it's one of the most well-known stories in all of the scriptures. And as we talk about it this morning, I hope that I certainly am not going to give you anything new. But I hope maybe to bring this story come alive again for you, and maybe God would use some of the principles that he's spoken to my heart about with regards to this story to be an encouragement to you, to be a challenge to you and a strength to you this morning. Jesus was passing through the city of Jericho. That city, another amazing Bible story. This city of Jericho has some great things that you know about it from the pages of Scripture. But Jericho, a city a little less than 20 miles from Jerusalem, many people coming to and from Jerusalem would pass through Jericho. Jesus passing through Jericho, and we see this story take place and recorded for us in the pages of Scripture. Zacchaeus, I would like you to see this morning, first of all, his degree. I have 7 points for you. I think it's seven. It's eight. 8 points. But we won't be very long. They're quick. So you ready? All right. This, first of all, we want to see his degree. We're going to look at his status, his pedigree, I mean, who he was, his degree. We see in verse number 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was chief among the publicans. The Bible goes on to tell us, to let us know, just in case we wondered, he was rich. Now, I, as a young man, had great aspirations for my life. I mean, I had very important goals. I didn't care how it happened. I don't care how I got there. But I wanted to be filthy rich. You say, Pastor Caleb, I thought you would have more admirable goals, more spiritual goals. I know. I'm sorry. Very disappointing. But that's what I wanted to be, was rich. And I don't know how many of us haven't sat and thought, I've had a dream. I've had a dream that somebody, it's happened, it's a recurring dream. And those of you that believe in dreams, I hope they come true, because I've had a recurring dream since I was a young boy that some old, wealthy person just liked me for some reason, don't know why, but they passed away and left me all their money. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, for you, not for me, you know. If somebody did that for you, I mean, we look at that and we think, man, if I just had that money, I would be okay. I would be all right. I mean, the money is just such a consuming thing for our lives, to try and have what we need to make ends meet and so on. Well, the Bible tells us here that Zacchaeus was rich. We know that as a publican, he was a tax collector, but he wasn't just a tax collector. He was a chief of all the tax collectors. You're talking about somebody that had position. He had position. He had notoriety. He was a mover and a shaker. He was somebody that had a position in the community. He would have been invited out to the events that take place. He would have been one that's sitting at the fundraisers for this campaign or for that campaign. He would have been asked to endorse this person or that person. He had power with his position. He had power. I mean, he was over a lot of other people, recognized as such. And he had prosperity, we see. The Bible tells us he was rich. Jesus introduced these things to us because it plays into the rest of the story, understanding who he was. Or in the middle, we see men murmuring and complaining because his reputation was that he was a sinner. Right? Everybody said, look at Jesus. He's going to be with a sinner. We see that because we know history and because we know how the publican was looked at in his day, we also can see in this verse here some disdain that the community had for him. Oh, he may have been of high degree. He may have been up and up in the society, and he may have had position. He may have had power, and he may have had prosperity, but I want you to know that he didn't have popularity. There was some disdain that the community had for him. He was the chief tax collector. Zacchaeus took money from those who were supposed to be his family and his friends. I mean, nobody likes to have their money taken. You and I. Nobody likes to see a letter from the IRS come in the mail. A letter from the IRS is not, hey, we just want to thank you for being such a good citizen. That's not why they write you. If you get something from the IRS, you know that's not what it is. Today we don't have an individual that we can look at and be frustrated with and despise. We have an entire agency, the IRS agency. But in his day, it was an individual. This guy that was supposed to be one of them
He was supposed to be with them. He was their family. He was their friend. And he would take their money, their hard-earned money, and they had to give it to him. And as you know, the reputation of most tax collectors was the government said that they had to give $20, and most tax collectors would come and say, listen, the government's requiring that you give $30 this year. And they would give the 20 to the Roman government and pocket 10. That was the known reputation of most publicans and tax collectors. Most Jews of that day lived in subjection, if not a measure of slavery, to the Roman government. The Roman government was over them, and they had to do whatever the government said, this Roman government said. And I mean, we know the principle that Jesus gave the disciples, hey, if a man compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. And that principle was in the same time period where Jesus was saying, hey, the Roman government demands they could walk up to anybody and say, you're going to carry my bag for the next mile. And that person had to stop what they were doing, quit whatever their task was for the day, and pick up that Roman's bag and carry it for a mile. I mean, they lived in subjection, that kind of subjection to the Roman government, and they didn't like the Roman government. And this here publican, Zacchaeus, was disdained by those who knew him. To everybody that knew him, he was a turncoat. He was a traitor. He was getting rich off of others. You see, everybody looked at him with disdain. But I want you to know that Jesus looked at him as a sinner in need of a Savior. The end verse that we read this morning, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, Jesus looked, or everybody else looked at him in disdain, and they looked down on him, and they saw him as a sinner and as somebody that was hopeless and without any way of recovery. I mean, look at him, and they had no heart for him or no compassion for him. But Jesus looked at him and saw him as a sinner in need of a Savior. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't look at you the way the world does sometimes, as other people sometimes do? I want you also to see his desire. In verse number 3, he says, and he sought to see Jesus. He sought to see Jesus. He had a desire to get to see Jesus. He wanted to see him. You know, Zacchaeus had a big house. By the standards of the day, he was rich. He had, power. He had a position. You know, he had all the things that from this standpoint, if you're looking at the world, he had all that the world could offer. He had it all. But there was something in his heart that was missing. He knew that there was something there, that something missing that needed to be there. He was looking for something else. Although he had all the enjoyment of the community, although he had all the power and the prestige of his position, although he had all that this world could offer, all that money could buy, everything he wanted to do, he could do, and he had all of that, yet he was still looking for something. I want you to know this world doesn't satisfy. It doesn't matter how much of the world you got at your fingertips. How much you can have and hold and consume of this world's goods, it won't satisfy. He was looking for something else. All that he had, and he was still looking. You know, there's a lot of people in the world today still looking. They're still looking. They may have a lot of that this world has to offer, but they're still looking. He sought to see Jesus. He desired to see Jesus. Maybe it was the excitement of the crowd that drew him. But maybe Zacchaeus had heard something about this Jesus. Maybe he had heard about Jesus and how he wasn't just a normal prophet. He wasn't just a normal scribe, a teacher of the law. When Jesus came on the scene, I mean, he took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000 people. Maybe he heard about how Jesus walked on water. Or he heard about how Jesus was able to calm the storm. how he was able to make a lame man walk or a blind man see. He heard about the change that was brought into people's lives when Jesus was there. And he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to get into his presence. He was looking for something. And he thought, maybe this man Jesus had what I need. Have you heard something about him? Have you heard anything about Jesus? Have you heard about what he's done in other people's lives? About the difference that he's made, about the joy that can be had. You know, this world is fed up with hypocritical Christianity. This world is fed up with hypocritical Christianity. Why would your neighbor or your coworker want what you have if what you have hasn't made a difference in your life? We talked about it in Sunday school. How the rest of the world, America has lots of problems, but the rest of the world looks at America as a land of opportunity. And they're trying to get here. Why? Because what's here, they desire. Zacchaeus heard something about Jesus. He had seen some things about Jesus. He had heard some stories of the difference that he made in other people's lives. And he said, you know what? I want that. And what I'm asking you this morning is, do your neighbors, do your coworkers, do your friends, do your family hear anything about Jesus from you? Do they see the difference that Jesus has made in your life? Do they look at your life and say, "You know what? I need whatever they have. I have a lot of what the world can offer, and I'm not satisfied. But I look at them, and there's so much joy in their life. I watch them as they go through a struggle, and they're still happy." Or do they look at you and say, "You know what? You complain and grumble and gripe just like the next guy. You don't get along with your wife or with your husband just like the other guy. I hear you curse and talk just like anybody else. I hear you grumble and complain about how God's not taking care of you just like the world does." And if that's where we are, then why would anybody want what we have? What I'm saying is Zacchaeus had heard something about Jesus that made him say, "I need to get down there and see him." Is there something in our lives that would motivate those around us to say, "I don't know what it is, but I need to get down there to the church house to see whatever it is that's going on, because I want to be a part of it"? He had a desire. He had a desire. I want you to see his difficulty. Verse number 3, he says, "And I sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature." Zacchaeus was short. He couldn't see. You know, the devil's always going to throw things in your path and make it difficult for you to get to Jesus. The devil's going to try and do whatever he can to keep you from getting to Jesus. Zacchaeus couldn't get to Jesus because of his size. But I wonder, what is the devil using to keep you from seeing Jesus? What is the devil using in your life to keep you from seeing and experiencing all that Jesus has for you and wants to be for you? Maybe you've got some distractions in your life that keep pulling your eyes away, and God wants you to keep your eyes on Jesus and to push towards him, but the distractions keep pulling you away and you can't experience what Jesus has for you. Maybe you've got some sin in your life. Didn't we sing the song, "Nothing Between"? I was thinking about my message, but I thought, man, "Nothing Between." Sometimes we get some sin in our life. We get something between us and the Savior, and we just can't see Jesus because there's something between. We allow it to stay there. We allow it to exist there, and we leave it there, and it's keeping us from seeing Jesus. Maybe the Word of God is empty and dead to you. Maybe prayer seems ineffective to you. Maybe preaching is boring to you.
But you've got something in between you and Jesus. Maybe you've got some anger or some bitterness or some malice in your heart. The Bible says an unforgiving spirit would put something between you and Jesus. When we think about all that Jesus has done for us, how could we not forgive those who've done something against us when Jesus forgave us after all we did against him? Is there something between you and Jesus? Is there a difficulty there keeping you from experiencing and seeing all that he has for you? Bob Jones Sr. used to preach a message from this passage on the handicap of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus had a handicap. And he would talk about Zacchaeus' handicap, but then he would go on to say that Zacchaeus was born with this handicap. But we were all born with a handicap. We're all born with a handicap of sin. And that keeps us from seeing Jesus. What is Romans 3:23? For all have sinned and what? You see, we're all short. We've all come short of being able to see Jesus because of the sin. But Jesus died and gave himself for us that he might forgive us of that sin and bring us into his presence. But I want you to see also his determination. His determination. He had a difficulty, but he was determined. He sought to see Jesus, but look at verse number 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Zacchaeus was short and he couldn't see Jesus. He was in the press. There was people all around him and he couldn't quite see. And so he ran down the road a little bit further and he climbed up into a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus as he passed that way. He had some determination. I mean, can you imagine? Here is dignified Zacchaeus. He's the chief among the tax collectors. He is rich. And he climbed a tree. He climbed up in a tree so that he could see Jesus. I think he was determined. He was determined to see Jesus. He had this difficulty, but he didn't let it stop him. This chief of the publicans, this dignified, rich individual, ran to see Jesus. You know what? It didn't matter what other people thought of him. He wasn't worried about, what are people going to think? I mean, they've made fun of me my whole life. They've mocked me for being short. I was the end of every kind of short joke there ever was, and I've experienced this my whole life. And if I climb that tree, it's going to start again. Oh, look, Zacchaeus, so short, he's got to get in a tree. And he could have gone through his mind. You know how we do, evaluating everything, thinking about it, and what are people going to think? But you know what? It didn't matter because he wanted to see Jesus. Because he wanted to know Jesus. It didn't matter what it was going to cost. You know, that's one of the reasons why I am not very good at high-pressure invitations. I try and give an invitation. I want to extend an opportunity for anybody that would like to receive Jesus. But I feel like when a person is ready to see Jesus, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't have to come down here and twist their arm and say, all of my teens are gone, all of my examples up here. I don't have to grab their arm and say, you need to come and get saved. No, they're coming. And when God has come down and touched your heart and spoken to you and stirred you, I don't have to have 62 verses of an invitation. And if one more person will come, let's sing one more verse. Let's sing. Have you ever been in a church like that? They sing one more. Let's do one more verse. One more verse. I'm going to go down there just so he'll quit. If you're ready, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what it's going to cost. You're not concerned about your reputation. You just want to get in the presence of Jesus. You just want to get into his presence. And you're willing to do whatever it takes. You know, I don't know what your difficulty is or what you might consider a handicap in your life, but let me just throw this out. He didn't let his handicap keep him from doing it. Whatever difficulty you have in your life, whatever thing that you look at and say, this is my handicap, this is keeping me from accomplishing this or that, or this is keeping me from doing this, or I could do that except this. Listen, don't let your difficulty keep you down. Don't let your difficulty discourage you. Don't let what you look at as your handicap keep you from being where God wants you to be. Do you understand in this story of Zacchaeus that Zacchaeus had the best seat in the house? Out of all the people that are gathered around, meandering down the road, those that were fighting to try and get to see Jesus, Zacchaeus had the best seat in the house now. You see, his difficulty is exactly what God used to put him where he needed to be. Your difficulty in your life, that thing which you look at and say, this is keeping me from doing this or being this or doing that, could be just what God is going to use to put you where you need to be so God can take you the next step. His determination caused him to climb a tree. And I want you to see his discovery. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You understand, Zacchaeus discovered that he came to see Jesus, but Jesus came to see him. Zacchaeus didn't realize that. He didn't know that. I mean, he thought he was just kind of sitting in the background. He was just going to perch himself up in a tree and kind of see what all the hubbub was about, trying to look from the fringes and look at it. But he didn't know that Jesus came to see him. How many of you understand you might have come to church this morning because of convenience? Or you might even come because of conviction. You might think, that's where I need to be. And in your mind, you think, well, I just came and I'm just going to sit in my spot in the pew. But how many of you know that the Holy Spirit came to see you? You see, you came and you sat in your spot. You didn't realize it. The Bible says that Jesus came to where he was. You see, Jesus is going to come down. And he's going to sit in the pew next to you. Maybe you didn't want to get that close to Jesus. Maybe you thought, oh, I just want to sit back here and kind of observe. But see, he discovered that Jesus had his number. Jesus knows where you're at. He called him Zacchaeus. What? Jesus knows my name? How does he know my name? No, called him Zacchaeus. He called him out, Zacchaeus. This morning you're sitting on the fringes, but Jesus is looking down. And he says, Sherry, Bob, Dave, Richard, Linda. He knows right what you're going through. He knows right where you're at. How many of you know that Jesus knows your number? I mean, you guys have come and told me in the past, you come and say, Pastor, did my wife talk to you? did my husband come, or did my kids say something to you? How did you know that happened this week? This week, exactly what you were talking about happened to me. That message was just for me. I didn't know it, but Jesus has your number. He's going to come to where you are. He's going to call your name. He's going to look right down into your soul and into your heart and give you what you need. His discovery. I want you to see the deference that Zacchaeus gave Jesus. The deference. The respect, the obedience.
in verse number 6. He says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Jesus told him what he needed to do, and he made haste to do it. Jesus said, this is what you need to do, and he made haste to do it. He made haste to do it. Some of you here this morning, you need to make haste to do what Jesus Christ has been telling you to do for a long time. Maybe he's calling you for salvation, and he spoke to you a number of times, and he said that he's the Savior of the world, and he wants to save your soul, and you said, not today. Not right now. Maybe Jesus has called you as a Christian and said you need to give up this or you need to stop that. And you've looked at it and said, okay, I know, Lord, I know that's what you want, but not today. Because I'm not ready to let that go. I'm not ready to give that up. I'm not ready to quit that. But Jesus is calling you. He's pointing his finger at you and he's saying, Zacchaeus, come down. He's calling you by name and he's saying you got to be willing to give that up and you need to make haste to do what God wants you to do this morning. He gives us here this example of deference, of obedience to God, understanding that his actions are how we know that he was an honest seeker of Christ and not just a curious bystander. You see, a curious bystander makes excuses. A curious bystander says, oh, that's not for me, or I'm thinking about it, but maybe later. As a seeker, he said, yes, Lord. You know, you don't have to convince a hungry man to eat. You put a good meal in front of him, and he's going to eat it. An honest seeker of Christ is ready when Jesus calls. Let me just throw this out. He says here that he received him joyfully. I want you to understand that when you receive Jesus, when you follow Jesus, when you obey what he wants you to do, there's joy in your heart. There's joy in your heart, and it translates to your face. Listen, this thing of Christians being all down in the dumps and discouraged over things, God's not in that. God is still on the throne, and he is still in control, and we can trust him regardless of what's going on. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and our life here on earth is but a vapor compared to eternity, and he has saved our soul, and we're on our way to heaven. There should be joy in our heart. He received him joyfully. Joyfully he received him. When God comes, there's joy. The joy of the Lord. I want you to see his deliverance in verses 8, 9, and 10. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord. He had never called him Lord before. He came to see Jesus. But now he recognizes him as Lord. He says, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was saved here by grace, by belief, by faith and trusting in Jesus Christ, not by doing good works. But we see that good works followed his salvation. Good works followed his salvation. Jesus didn't in this passage anywhere preach on restoring that which you've taken from others. Jesus didn't get up and start expounding scriptures on truthfulness and honesty to Zacchaeus. But as soon as Zacchaeus was saved, something inside of his heart said, hey, all that money I took, Jesus, I know you know about it. I'm going to return it. And fourfold, Jesus, I'm going to return it.
It's kind of funny. He says, Lord, if there's any money that I took dishonestly, I'm going to return it. Something inside of him told him what he needed to do. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes a new Christian, somebody just got saved, has a whole lot more spiritual sense than us that have been saved for a long time. Because we've got used to justifying where we're at. And a new Christian, just something inside of him says, man, I'm not supposed to do this. I need to give that up. I don't know why, but I just think I need to go get a haircut. I don't know why, I just think that the Lord wants me to stop drinking. Nobody even preached on it. I don't know why, but I just got to stop that cussing. I mean, I had such a foul mouth before, and I just got to quit that. The Holy Spirit of God in the heart touches us and says, hey. And the Holy Spirit was working in Zacchaeus' life, and we see immediate change in his life when he trusted Jesus Christ. We know that he got saved here because Jesus calls him a son of Abraham. In Galatians chapter 3, verse number 29, the Bible says, and if ye be Christ, if you be, as if you belong to Christ, if you be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed. And that's what Zacchaeus was. He recognized his salvation, and he displayed actions of a delivered man. Saved without doing good. But the result of being saved was that he was going to do good. Let him that stole steal no more. He said, behold, Lord. Some of us need to recognize Jesus as Lord in our life. Behold, Lord, what you've been talking to me about, I'm going to do. Behold, Lord, what you've been saying to me, I'm going to take care of. I know, Lord, I took that stuff and I shouldn't have. I know, Lord, I went that place and I wasn't supposed to go there. I know, Lord, I talked about those things and I wasn't supposed to say that. Behold, Lord, I'm going to get that taken care of. I'm going to get that taken care of. You need to recognize Jesus as Lord in your life. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? We see three expressions of actions taking place very quickly in this text. He says, make haste, come down, and today. He tells Zacchaeus, come on. For us to delay is dangerous. When Jesus is speaking to our heart, we don't know that we have tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen the next day. When Jesus is speaking to us, we need to respond to him. We need to make haste. We need to do what he is calling us to do. If God spoke to you this morning, don't let what somebody thinks about you hinder you from doing what God wants you to do. You come to an old-fashioned altar and bow your head and pray and talk to him.